Privilege and opportunity to be here this morning on this beautiful Lord's Day. We thank God for your presence with us and for those visiting with us. We want to welcome you as always to the Church of Christ here in Leicester. And know as always that you are among friends, and we want to invite and encourage you to come back and visit with us as often as you can, and know that a born Christian a welcome awaits you here. Your Bible and my Bible reads in Romans chapter 16, verse number 16, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. This morning I am before you to speak a word for the Lord, and I invite your kind attention to the book of Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. The battery for this PC is dying, but that's okay. Acts chapter 27. It is here that we encounter the story of the great apostle Paul, a missionary, a proclaimer of the gospel of Jesus Christ, who at this stage of his life had already been through three trials as a missionary. He was before Felix in Acts chapter 24. Before Festus in Acts chapter 25, and before King Agrippa in Acts chapter 26. And because of Paul's appeal to Caesar, who was the emperor, Paul was classified as a prisoner and had to be sent to Rome under guard on a ship around 59 to 61 AD. So that was 59 or 61 years after Jesus had died. And so we pick up in Acts chapter 27, verse number 1 says, and when it was decided that we should set sail to Italy, they delivered Paul and some of other prisoners to to one named Julius, a centurion of the Augustinian regiment. What I want us to glean from today's lesson is to recognize that in life, our life is full of ships. Life is full of ships. There are circumstances that we will find ourselves in, or may find ourselves in, or you may be in a circumstance now that is out of our control. And so the first sentence says, and when it was decided that we indicates that the good physician Luke was with the apostle Paul, and he rejoined this party, separated by Paul's imprisonment. He has now accompanied Paul on this ship to Rome. And verse number 2 says, so entering a ship of Adramyttium, we put to sail, meaning to sail, to the coasts of Asia. Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, was with us. And the next day we landed at Sidon, and Julius treated Paul kindly and gave him liberty to go to his friends and receive care. And so this centurion, for those who may not be aware, a centurion was an army officer who has a charge of 100 men. He had the charge of 100 men. And so this centurion, Paul had built a relationship with this centurion such that he was able to receive visitors, and he was given privileges. It is a most merciful providence that this place, that placed this man with the apostle Paul. He showed exceptional kindness in releasing Paul to parole at Sidon, that he might visit friends and no doubt provide himself with necessities against the stormy and hazardous winter voyage. Verse number 4 says, when he had put to sea from there, we sailed around the shelf of Cyprus because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea, which is of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. And the travelers were fortunate enough to find Myra, a large vessel, estimated to weigh between 75 and 1,000 tons. So don't think of this ship as a boat. It was a large vessel, a large sea-going vessel, and was carrying wheat from Egypt to Rome. And there was room for the centurion, his soldiers, and prisoners, as such as those who chose to accompany them. And you know, and then in verse number 6 says, there the centurion found an Alexandrian ship sailing to Italy, and he put us on board. When we had sailed slowly many days and arrived with difficulty in Cnidus, the winds not permitting us to proceed, we sailed under the shelter of Crete off Salome. Passing it with difficulty, we came to a place called Fair Havens, the city of Lestia. And it is here in verse number 9, and I want us to notice three things. Three things, the message is entitled, Lessons from the Ship. Lessons from the Ship, that's S-H-I-P. First of all, I want us to notice, and a warning, and an encouragement. First of all, don't fall out. Don't fall out of the ship. Number two, don't jump out. Don't jump out of the ship. And number three, don't pass out. Don't pass out on this ship. And so it was around the time close to September, and perhaps here at Fair Havens, the apostle and any Jewish Christians on board may have observed the Great Day of Atonement, the one feast or fast of the Jewish calendar. The season for navigation with sailing vessels was drawing to a close, and Paul counseled delay. And we see here in verse number 9, when much time had been spent and sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already over, Paul advised them this thing. He said in verse number 10, "Men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and ship, but also our lives." Nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the ship than by the things spoken by Paul. And because the harbor was not suitable for winter to winter in, the majority advised to set sail from there also, if by any means they could reach Phoenix, a harbor of Crete, opening towards the southwest and northwest and winter there. You see, and you'll perhaps recognize in your life, we have to be careful who we get our advice from. You and I have to be careful who and where we get our advice from. And so the man of God said, listen, this voyage is not going to end well. And this was the Apostle Paul. But it says that they were more persuaded by the centurion and this shipman here on the boat. Did Paul have a say? Yes, he had a say. Did Paul have a choice? No, didn't have a choice. There are some times when you may find yourself, and I might find myself, in circumstances beyond our control. But remember to stay on board the ship. Amen. You may have a say, but you don't have a choice. Paul was a prisoner, and he didn't have a choice. But he still warned them, nonetheless. So, Paul suggested in verse number 10, if they continued this voyage, that it would end in disaster. And they continued their voyage, there would be much hurt and damage, not only to the ship and its cargo, but also to the lives. For as the city of Lasti was nearby, and there could have been accommodation for all of them during this period of time. I come from a place where we suffer from hurricanes. Hurricane season runs from June to November. And from a place like Bermuda, we're surrounded by water. You can't walk away. You can't walk away from Bermuda. You can't swim to another island. So you gotta ride that storm out. And just like in life, you gotta ride whatever storm you find yourself in. You've gotta ride that storm out. And so his arguments not to continue were addressed to his fellow voyagers. Verse number 12 says, and because the harbor was not suitable to winter in, the majority advised to set sail from there also, if by any means they could reach Phoenix, a harbor of Crete, opening towards the southwest and northwest of the winter. So the master of the ship was naturally wanting to avoid the danger of the ship. The owner who was on board would be thinking about his cargo. The centurion would be thinking about his own responsibility in getting all the prisoners safely to Rome. And the passengers, oh yes, you and I, we will certainly be thinking of ourselves. And then, you know how it is. You think the coast is clear. Verse 13 says, when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their desire, putting out to sea, they sailed close to Crete. And everything starts off calm, and that it don't like it was a problem. That was a bad decision. Look at verse 14, but not long after, a tempestuous head wind arose called Euroclide. So So when the ship was caught and could not head into the wind, we let her drop. And running under the shelter as it, of an island called Clauda, we secured the skiff with difficulty. When they had taken it on board, they used cables to undergird the ship, and fearing lest they should run aground the Cirrus sands, they struck sail and so were driven. And because we were exceedingly tempest-tossed, the next day, what were they doing? They were throwing things overboard. You know how it is? They had to get rid of all the shoes and handbags and all the other excess baggage. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 12, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. You have a way. I've got a way, but God has a way. And every time, our way is not always the right way. And so, I'm going to suggest to you, verse number 14 through 18, don't fall out. Because her salvation was tied up or wrapped up in that ship. The church today is God's ship of salvation. The church today is God's ship of salvation. I don't care how stormy it gets. I don't care how rough the seas get. Don't fall out. Because your salvation is tied up to staying on board through the storms. And so, it says in verse number 18, because we were exceedingly tempest-tossed, the next day they lightened the ship. On the third day, the ship's tackle they threw the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands. Now when they was neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest beat upon us, all hope that we would be saved was finally given up. Verse number 21, after a long absence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, man, you should have listened to me. Who are you listening to? And I have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and lost. Now, Paul is not condemning them. Paul is not condemning them. I thank God that we perhaps have in our lives a spiritual person. Somebody who has the wisdom of God to tell us what we need to hear and not what we want to hear. Because he told them the truth. This is not going to end well. What he said, you should have listened to me. What does he say? He tells them the truth, but he had to encourage them. He said, verse number 22, and I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only the ship. Verse number 23, for there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid. Paul, you must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore, take heart, man, for I believe God that he will do just as it was told me. Do you trust God? Do we trust God? It's easy to trust God on the shore when there's no storm. But when you get out into the deep, when all hope seems to be lost, that is where our trust and faith is developed. And so he said, I believe, I trust God that he's going to do just what he said. However, verse number 28, there's a clause, we must run aground on a certain island. Verse number 27, now when the 14th night had come and we were driven up and down in the Adriatic Sea, about midnight, the sailors sensed that they were drawing near some land. And they took soundings and found it at 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they took soundings again and found it to be 15 fathoms. What did they do? They would use a gauge to see how deep the water was. And they were getting closer to land now. Verse number 28 says, then fearing lest we should run aground on the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for the day to come. What would you be doing? What would you be doing? Huh? There would be no Xbox on board, young people. There would be no Instagram, no social media. There would be none of that. It was praying time. It was praying time indeed. Verse number 30 says, as the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship, when they had let down the skiff into the sea under pretense of putting out anchors, from the cross. They said, let me out of here. Let me out of here. That's the second point. Don't jump out. Don't jump out of this shit. Amen. When the room gets rough, what do folks do? Folks pass out. They want to jump out. They say, you got to stay on board this shit. You got to stay on board. So Paul said in verse number 31, said to the centurion and the soldiers, unless these men stay where? In the ship. You cannot be saved. Where is salvation? Salvation is in this ship. If any man be in Christ, you better stay in Christ. Amen. And so, he said, you stay on board this ship. What do they do? Verse number 32, then the sailors cut away the ropes of the skiff and let it fall off. And as day was about to dawn, Paul implored them all to do what? Take food. They were fasting. They had lost their appetite at this point. You ever be so much in sorrow that you can't even eat? You can't even sleep. You can't even think. You ever been there? Or maybe it's just me. Paul said, listen, this is not the end. Take some food. Take some physical food. Said in verse number 34, therefore I urge you to take nourishment, for this is your survival. Since not a hair will fall from the head of any of you. And when he had said these things, guess what he did? He took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when they had broken it, they began to eat. This is not the Lord's Supper, church. This is physical bread. This is like a meal. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says about giving thanks. He gave thanks to God in the presence of the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17 and 18. You know the verses. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17 and 18. Paul says this. Pray without ceasing. What does that mean? Pray without ceasing. Does that mean to pray all day when I'm driving off the M1 and I just go, take bow your heads and pray? No. That will be foolish. It means to keep yourself in a posture of prayer. Prayer is our connection with God. Pray without ceasing. And look at verse number 18. He says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Notice it says, it doesn't say for everything. It says in everything. I might not like what I mean. Huh? What do you mean? Perhaps. When you're in trouble, when you're inconsolable, when you're in distress, when you're in mess, when you're in doubt, when you're indecisive, when you're in pain, when you're in sorrow, he says, give thanks. Why? Because it could be the whole lot worse. I thank God I can still talk. I thank God that I can still see. I thank God that I have a sense that something's going to happen, but I don't know what it is. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It's God's will that you pray in every circumstance. And so, you remember the song says, when upon life's billows, you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking of all his laws, count your many blessings, name them one by one. And it will surprise you what who the Lord has done. Have you been through something recently? How did I survive that? I want to suggest to you as well, and this is free, that everything you go through is not just for you. Amen. Because folk are watching you. Oh, did he fall apart? Did she fall apart? How did you react in that circumstance? See, Paul was the man of God, standing right there with them. He said, listen, this is not going to end well, but God has told me that we must run this ship aground, but none of you will be lost as long as you stay in the ship. Stay in the ship. Amen. So, when did Paul make up in his mind? It says, watch this now, watch this. It says in verse 38, then they were all encouraged and took food themselves. And in all, there were how many people on board this ship? 276 persons on the ship. So when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and threw out the wheat into the sea. Now when it was day, verse 39, they did not recognize the land, but they observed a bay which, with the beach on which they planted a plan to run the ship if possible. And if they let go of the anchors and let them into the sea, meanwhile losing the rudder ropes, and they hoisted the mainsail to the wind and made for shore. But striking a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground and the prow struck fast and remained immovable, but the stern was being broken up by the violence of the waves. Verse number 42. And the soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim and escape. Watch this now. What, you see how God works? But the centurion wanted to save Paul, kept them from their purpose, and commanded that those who could swim should jump overboard first and get to land. And the rest, some on boards and some on parts of the ship, so it was that they all escaped safely to land. Why did they arrive safely? Because they trusted God. Even when you're out of control, God is always in control. I thank God that He's still in control today. And as I mentioned before, and we'll continue to mention, listen, you and I, this place is not the end. This is just the beginning. We have much work to do. But the question is, will you stay in the ship? Will you stay in the ship? I mentioned the lesson is titled, Lessons from the Ship. You know, all of us find ourselves in a ship. It's called hardship. Ever had a hardship? Maybe you're in one right now. But you know, even when you're in hardship, you must join that ship up with this one. You've got to join it up with fellowship. Amen. Fellowship. What is fellowship? Fellowship is two fellows in a ship, both rowing in the same direction. Yoke yourself up with Jesus. And that also is depending upon our relationship with the Lord. And then that relationship will lead to what? Discipleship. What's a disciple? A disciple is a follower of Christ. If I want to be like Jesus, I've got to live like Jesus. I've got to talk like Jesus. I've got to act like Jesus. I've got to walk like Jesus. You know that word discipline is a root word of disciple. What is God trying to do? He's trying to discipline us. What was he trying to tell them? He said, listen, Paul told them, don't fall out of the ship. Don't jump out of the ship. And don't pass up. Amen. And so, that discipleship, that's what will lead to our worship. Our worship. Amen. See, you won't know how good God is unless you realize how bad you were. You cannot recognize how good God is until you recognize how bad you were. Huh? You say, but we sang that song. The song was marvelous today. I believe God is thankful. God be praised. God is so good. He's so good to me. God is good even when you're not good. God is good even when you're not obedient. God is good even when you're trying to get out of the ship. You're trying to get out of fellowship. You're trying to get out of discipleship. Amen. Worship. And you know what? The most impressive thing is, the most impressive ship is, we are His workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus. What for? For, the Bible says, good works. The Apostle Paul, he would later be killed if we keep on reading. And I asked the question in our Bible class, would you be willing to give your life for a cause that you didn't believe? Would you be willing to die for a cause that you didn't believe in? No, you wouldn't do that. But why did the Apostle Paul endure to the end? Somebody wants to know that. Turn with me to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, and the message is yours. Acts chapter 20, verses 22 to 24. Acts chapter 20. Verses 22 to 24. It is here that Paul had called for the Ephesian elders. And he exhorted them in that verse. He warned them that ravenous wolves were coming among them. You remember that in Acts chapter 20? But notice what Paul said long before, Acts chapter 27. He said, listen, he says, and see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except the Holy Spirit testifies in every city that saying that chains and tribulations await me. If you knew that tomorrow, when you settle about your business, that chains and tribulations await you, would you go? Would you go at your job? You knew that there were going to be some problems on your job. Would you go? But what did Paul determine? He said, watch at verse 24, one of the most beautiful verses in the Bible. He said, but none of these things move me. That's some determination. That is some statement. And then he says, nor do I count my life dear to myself. What for? So that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry or work which I received from the Lord Jesus. To do what? To testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Paul made that commitment on the shore before he got into that ship. And interesting. What will our declaration be? So I'm not going to say anything, but the way you live. The way you live will tell which ship you're in. Huh? You may not be able to escape the hardship, but you can choose whatever ship you want after that. I want to encourage you this morning, if you're not a Christian, that God wants you to be saved. God wants you in His ship, into fellowship. But what must I do to get into this ship, into this relationship? First of all, you've got to hear the word of God, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. That he gave his only begotten Son. Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing by the word of God. You've got to believe that Jesus Christ is the only one that can save you from your sins. That's John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Then you've got to repent of your sins. Repentance simply means to change your mind with a view to changing your action. Repentance takes place from the neck up. Luke chapter 13, 3 and 5. I tell you, that unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Then you must confess Jesus is Lord. Romans 10:9-10, with the heart one believes to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Then you must complete your obedience by being baptized in water for the remission of your sins. That's Acts 2:38, Mark 16:15 and 16, Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, and many other passages of Scripture. And then for those of us who are Christians, maybe you're in a ship right now, and you're trying to figure out, what shall I do? Remember what the Apostle Paul has already done. He said, you must remain in this ship in order to be saved. You may lose some physical things, but don't lose your life. Don't lose your salvation. Don't lose your relationship. If you're here this morning, you need prayer. It's praying time, church. Every last one of us have problems. That's why Jesus came and died for our sins. If you need prayer, Lord, help me to be better today than it was yesterday. Lord, I just want to give you thanks for what you have done for me. Or perhaps you're in some other ship that perhaps no one else knows, only you and God knows. It will be our privilege to pray with you and for you in Jesus' name. As we stand and sing the song of invitation.